Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King sitting in for Linda Armstrong. Today is Friday, June the 28th, 2019. It is 4 p.m. in New York and 1 p.m. in Los Angeles. That's 9 p.m. in London and 6 a.m. in Sydney, Australia. And if I could do my math right, I think that's 5 a.m. in Tokyo. But wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And the only thing unhappy is that Linda can't be with us today. She's going to be back next week. But in the meantime, good friend Alex is always there for me. It's wonderful. I mean, you're like having a built-in sub. I love it. It's great. It's an opportunity for us to kind of pick up each other's energy and get the whole thing flowing and so forth. Got to get ready for the weekend, right? Because that's when everything really good happens. So got to be ready for that weekend.
I feel like good things happen every day. It has nothing to do with the week or the weekend.
Well, I mean, when I'm looking at the weekend, then that's why I think everything good is going to happen. When I'm looking at the beginning of the week, that's when I think everything good is going to happen. But I'm not focused on next week. You know, I got the weekend coming up. This is good. I mean, plus today we're temps in the 90s and it's supposed to start cooling off over the weekend. That should be good. So,
It was hot today. Like, my poor AC is just like, I can't help you. He's like, I'm trying. I'm doing all I can. Giving her all it's got, Captain.
I cannot get you any more, Captain. I haven't done Scotty in years. Anyway.
I don't even know who Scotty is.
Scotty is the engineer who says that. he's the engineer of the original Star Trek, Starship Enterprise. I mean,
well, I knew it was from Star Trek.
Yeah.
I knew that much.
Yeah.
But that was it. Yeah.
That was it. Yeah.
Rusty, it's quiet time. Quiet time. Sorry.
I always thought it was brilliant to have a Scotsman as the engineer because you need that accent in order to just make it sound cool. Otherwise, it's just an engineer. He was great. Whenever he would, the ship was in trouble and he was trying to make some sort of emergency repair to the warp drive or something like that. You know, mm-hmm. You could see the panic on his face. I'm working as hard as I can, Captain.
It does make the scene seem a little more intense with that accent.
and there were other times when I asked myself, where's the rest of the engineering department? It's all
right. It's just Scotty.
I guess the Enterprise was a little bit smaller then.
Oh, man.
Oh, those are the days. I do have to admit, though, I was a Trekkie for a while. I mean, I wasn't the kind who, you know, went to the conventions and wore the costumes and so forth. But, mm-hmm. I mean, because for its day, and this is the 1960s, for its mm-hmm. day, it was really advanced. I mean, there was nothing else like it on TV. Nothing at all. It was, that wasn't even close.
Listen, it's 2019, and I still don't have a flying car.
I know.
Or a microwave that can cook a whole chicken in 1 second. So,
you know about the thing. They actually did figure out flying cars by the 1980s, but we still don't have them.
Right. Well, can look at the traffic now. Can you imagine traffic in the air?
You
have a car accident in the air, you're going to have people falling like a really long time and then dying that way. Like, no, we have enough problems with bridges. I think we're good.
I suppose. I don't know. I think there happens to be a lot of, you know, altitude up there to work with. So I can't imagine all of the traffic pattern being at exactly 2,000 feet and that's it, nothing else.
Yeah, but, I can see what you're saying there.
Yeah, I mean, now if we had 10 times as many cars in the air as we have on the ground, well, okay, then I could start to see a little bit of a problem there.
See, now we're getting into Fifth Element territory.
Well, either that rolls Los Angeles, one or the other.
Same.
Tell us about Fifth Element, or actually tell me about Fifth Element. Most of our listeners probably know about it, but I don't really know enough about it. I mean, I know about as much about Fifth Element as you know about the original Star Trek.
Touche.
Okay.
Okay, so Fifth Element is like the best sci-fi movie I've ever seen.
Okay.
And it basically is about the other aliens from another planet that have the key to protecting Earth from this impending doom 3,000 years in the future.
Hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, far-sighted, I have to say.
Yeah, and so these aliens, you know, give us a gift, and there's like certain people, it's kind of like the Masons, so like the Masons are in charge of this huge secret that carries on through those 3,000 years, and they're in charge of when the time comes, they have to have the key. And the key turns out to be the most advanced, perfect person in the world that's supposed to inherit all this power, and she's a woman, and everybody's shocked. They're like, oh, what?
So, you mean after 3,000 years, we still haven't got to the point where we're okay with women having power? Wow.
Well, I don't think they were expecting her to be human, first of all. Well, she's not, but like every piece of her DNA is perfect. So they're like, she's so advanced. It's insane. And then the fact that she's beautiful and the fact that she's
of course woman. She is.
So, well, yeah. Duh.
I mean, you don't write a movie like that and make her, you know, the ugliest person around, because that's not the way it's done with women.
No. Yeah, she can't be average, no. And so it's basically a thriller, it's also a comedy, and it's also a love story. So,
Good. Yeah. Okay.
You would definitely like it. I think you would like it.
I'll have to check that out sometime.
Yeah.
That it'll be nice to actually to have a movie that's a relatively modern movie that I can put in with my collection of 10 others from the last 25 years that I actually enjoy.
Yeah, this movie is timeless. I think it came out in like the early 2000s, maybe in the 90s, and it still holds up to this day.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
So. And I see that now this is our most loyal live stream listener. Jeffrey has tuned in. And Jeffrey.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey came close to being in our cast. He made it to the first round.
Ooh.
Yeah,
oh.
he made it to the first round. He got past the first cut, put it that way,
uh-huh.
Which is pretty good. Now, there are a lot of people who make that.
Who did he audition for?
I think he just kind of generally auditioned. I don't think he auditioned for a specific character. He said, hey, if you got a character, give it to me, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But good to see you, Jeffrey.
Sorry, Jeffrey.
No, sorry. He did well.
He did all right, but not.
Yeah.
There's just people better than you. It's okay. It happens.
No, they aren't better than him. They're just, like he said, he's not a trained actor. He hasn't had, I shouldn't say that. He has not turned it into a career like other people have.
Gotcha.
When you're up against people who are trying to be professional and trying to make it their everyday life, that's tough.
That's true.
Tough competition.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that because we looked at, you know, what was it, nearly 500 people.
Oh, don't even remind me.
I'm glad we got our cast, right? And we got a good one.
But that's just for the pilot. Like, we still have other characters and other episodes to do. And so we got to go through not the whole process again, but
a
good chunk of it. Yeah.
Yeah. At least we have a good pool to draw from now for the future characters, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw, I've been trying to collect people who have been expressing an ability to do impressions, because we have that one scene that we can't talk about because we don't want to do a spoiler, but
a
really cool scene with celebrity voices. And
you got my text about how they finally posted the ad on the Facebook page. I was
yes.
So people are not, you are absolutely right about people not following directions.
Isn't it crazy?
So they're trying to apply via comment. And I'm like, and it says right there, please send your MP3 to.
You almost have to put it right at the top before you say anything else, and then they'll still skip it.
They will. Oh, yeah. I'm like, what do you, and so the first comment, I just wrote it automatically. I was like, okay, well, you know, send an MP3 with all your voices to, you know, casting@loatoday.net. And then. Then I look up and I was like, but it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in school, probably 8th or 9th grade, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A teacher who, let's see, what did this person teach? I think it was an English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But she gave us a test. Mm-hmm. And it was a long, long test. It had like, I don't know, 40, 50 questions on it. And the first few questions were, you know, kind of normal questions. And then the questions started getting really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stand and sing the national anthem.
Okay.
Or, you know, go swap your paper with your neighbor next to you.
Uh-huh.
Like, what on earth? Now, I was actually one of the few who would stop and read through to see what was there, and I said, wait a minute, something's weird here. So I started reading.
I bet I know how this ends.
And it says, skip to the last question and do that one first. And if you go down and you skip to the last question, it says, thank you for taking the test, you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a test to see if you could follow directions.
Follow directions, yes.
And it was great because you'd have kids who very haltingly and, you know, terrifiedly stand up and start singing the national anthem.
Oh, that must be what teachers live for. Oh, my God.
It was great.
Yeah.
So that was one test I was very pleased to have passed because I didn't have to embarrass myself in class.
Yeah.
But it makes the point because I swear to God, probably 5 to 10% of the class passed the test.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was doing all the weird, crazy things that she was asking you to do on the test because they didn't read the directions.
Yeah, same.
And I almost missed the directions. I almost skipped them. I started writing the first one, and the first one made sense. I started the second one. I said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This doesn't look right. And then
let me go back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was fun. But actually, you know, when I first got hooked on here with you today, I was thinking to myself, well, I don't really have a topic, but I really do have a topic. I have a couple of topics for us to talk about.
Oh,
yeah.
A couple. Ooh.
And they kind of fit into what we were just talking about. That's what made me think about it.
Okay.
One of them was about people on Facebook in particularly mm-hmm. the Law of Attraction groups,
mm-hmm.
who, I don't want to say this in a way that sounds condescending, who just, it's kind of like what the test takers were doing. They weren't reading the directions. It's like posting
right.
on the post you put in about people who can do celebrity impressions rather.
Yeah.
You can get people who just don't know how to read what somebody else is saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very often I'll see a post by somebody and they're asking, you know, they go through the whole setup about what's going on in their life and why they're asking this question. And then they'll ask a question. Oh, you got a little buddy there. Hello.
He just came out of nowhere.
Surprise.
Oh God.
He has to be on the live stream. That's what it is.
He's like, we don't podcast in the afternoon. What are we doing?
Yeah, right. This is not normal for me, right? Which one is he now?
This is Rusty.
That's Rusty. Okay. Hello, Rusty. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yes. He's my main man. Like, he stays by my side at all times.
He obviously loves you and adores you.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, no doubt. But anyway, talking about these people who you can tell they didn't read the whole thing. Like, the person who's posting it is asking a very specific question.
Uh-huh.
And invariably, like 98% of the responses will be, well, this is what you should do in general to attract what you're trying to attract into your life.
Uh-huh.
They don't necessarily read the question that says, does anybody else run into this?
Right.
They just read, well, what you should be doing is that. Yeah, but that's not what the question asked.
Right.
And I noticed that it isn't just Law of Attraction group. This is.
Oh, no. It happened to me the other day. People just don't pay attention.
They just aren't, you know, and to me, I think it's disrespectful. I know mm-hmm. that sounds strange to say, but I think it is disrespectful because what you're really doing is you're saying, I have all of these answers for you, but I can't be bothered to find out what your question really is and then
right.
answer the question. You know, I'm here to show how smart I am.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, speaking of the test that you almost failed.
Thank you. Actually, I passed.
You passed, but you almost missed it. There's always these posts that say, they'll have like this really long post, and then you get to the bottom, and it said, I bet half of you didn't even read past, you know, a certain point and don't know that this is all a joke. So mm-hmm. then you go into the comments and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, guys, this is the end.
So there's that. That's the one kind of post that I've seen a lot of. The other mm-hmm. kind, and this one, I think this one that irritates me even more. I see this in a lot of the different groups. Mm-hmm. I especially see it in Neville groups, but it happens in mm-hmm. all groups. And that is, people who give advice using verbiage that only those who have studied the subject in depth understand.
Mm-hmm. No, you got to do layman's terms. This is the internet.
That's right. Yeah. but and then if you say something that doesn't match the meanings of what they have in mind, they shame you on it.
Ooh, word shaming? Really?
Yeah, like, you know, well, you know, you don't understand this properly without explaining to you why you don't understand it properly, because what you're really doing is just you're using the words in a way that they don't use the words.
Yeah.
You know, or even worse, if the person whose response says, well, I can't think of a good way to explain this to you, I'm just going to plug in a 30-minute video on Neville or whatever, and the answer's in there. Just listen to that video. The answer's in there.
You know? Excuse me.
I mean, I think of that same English teacher who gave us that test. If I had turned in a paper that said, I want to make this claim in my paper, and at the end I would have cited a source and said, go watch a two-hour movie in order to see the evidence.
Yeah, understand what I said.
I would have failed. I would have been given an F for the paper. Yeah. Like, you can't cite that. What do you expect me to do? You expect me to go watch a two-hour movie in order to figure out what it is you're trying to cite in one paragraph? Come on.
Right.
Give me a break. But that's what people do.
Yep.
So I got to ask you a question. What do you think people are trying to attract when they put out these kinds of things? Because, I mean, from
my perspective, posting, or the people who are ignoring what the post says and...
Who are ignoring or who are trying to be so knowledgeable, and here's the full answer, but I don't know how to explain it to you.
I don't think they're trying to attract anything. I think they're trying to gloat about what an expert they are in the subject.
See, to me, that means they're trying to attract something. They're trying to attract attention. They're trying to attract energy.
Okay, yep.
They're trying to attract something.
That.
I don't know what that is.
I agree with attention, yes.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just attention.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. I mean, everybody likes to have attention, but maybe we need some better strategies.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not all about you, you know. And then you have those people that comment on everything, whether they know what's going on or not. They're just like, hey, I'm here. I know you were waiting for me and my opinions.
Yeah, that does seem to be something that happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
The other thing that's interesting to me is how often you see somebody who types an F in, they're following, right?
Yeah.
And they don't seem to understand that if you like something, or just if you do any other kind of interaction besides leave a comment that says nothing at all.
Yeah, it's still
kind of lets you know.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder, how often do they actually follow anything?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Do they actually understand how Facebook works?
No, I don't think they do. Because I see that all the time in groups. They're like, oh, following. And I'm like, I never knew what it meant. I was just like...
I had to ask.
Yeah. I usually Google things like that, but I didn't really care. So.
Well, I've actually Googled F and nothing comes up. I mean,
it's just, I'd be afraid to Google F. Like. Oh, man.
F, the sixth letter of the alphabet.
Right.
Oh, that doesn't help a whole lot.
Oh, my God.
So I guess it's release the pet peeves day. That's what this is so far.
Hashtag.
Hashtag release the pet peeves.
I actually, it's funny you say that, law of attraction. Ran into a profile today on one of the dating apps, and they said, one of the questions was, what's your pet peeve? And it's like, the fact that people have pet peeves. And I was like, well, you're not for me, because let me tell you, I have a long list. So, swipe left.
Yeah, right.
When you got a problem with pet peeves, I am not the girl for you.
I remember one time, I don't remember exactly why. It probably was because of there's a website that I have run for years that was for people who wanted to comment about politics. Uh-huh. I actually still maintain it. I'm not sure why, because I'm moving away from politics as much as I can. But for some reason, I'm just not willing to let it go. but anyway, I remember one time I'd written some article on some subject. I don't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. And somebody was kind of debating with me about it. It's like, okay, you know, so we're having our conversation. And in the course of the conversation, let's see, how'd that go? Well, I can't remember the details of it, but kind of in general, you know, I'm taking one position, they're taking the other position. That's fine. Okay.
So it was a debate. Okay.
And in the course of this debate, I began to realize that there was nothing I could say that the other person would agree with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when you log off.
And I think that's what I ended up doing. But after I had gone through every single permutation on Earth trying to find a way to create agreement.
Yeah.
Now, That's a fairly common phenomenon, right?
Yep. I mean, that's why we came up with agree to disagree.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. So now let's take this to the law of attraction groups, because I see the same thing happen there too.
Mm-hmm.
So why would people want to go on to a group that's about law of attraction that mm-hmm. is at least in theory about helping people for the express purpose of just being disagreeable? Disagreeing with everything. Now, when I say that, I often disagree with what people say, but I also try to find ways to agree.
Yeah, yeah.
And
some people are just natural trolls, and that's just what they do. I actually have a friend who purposely trolls certain things. Like, he's on certain groups where he's like, oh, give me a wrong answer. Give me a wrong answer.
So he's actually looking to start a fight.
Yeah. He once said to me, if you're not trolling, do you even exist on the internet? okay, that's one way.
Okay. This kind of falls into the category of having a life, I believe.
That's the thing, he has a life. I don't know how he has time to make all these comments.
So, you see why I'm confused here.
Yes, I'm also confused with you.
You have a life. Why are you wasting your time on this? You've got nothing better to do than that.
They're just looking for that one person to like their comment and then start a snowball.
The only thing I can think is it's about taking energy. It's about you don't know how to connect your own energy, so you're trying to steal somebody else's energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of. Because why would you want to troll?
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that? I've never really gotten that.
Yeah, me neither. I don't see the joy in it.
And I guess it depends on how you define trolling. I mean,
true.
I've certainly, read a news article and gone to see what the comments were.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the comments are the best part.
They often are.
Oh my God.
Now, does that qualify as trolling? I mean, I'm not really looking to start a fight.
No.
I'm just looking to see what the comments are, just to see if there's anything kind of wacky. I'm a sports fan, so I'll often do that with a sports blog.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, you know what happens? I'm just realizing it. Most often, I'm looking at the comments after I read the blog piece, and I thought the blog piece was full of it. So I want to see if anybody else thought it was full of it.
Right.
You know? And if anybody else didn't think it was full of it, I said, oh, okay, well, then I guess I'm not the only one. But if I see everyone else saying that it's wonderful, I say, did you guys read the same article I did?
That's trolling.
So I guess that is trolling.
But do you type it, though, or you just think it? Because if you think it's fine.
Sometimes I type it.
Well, then you're a troll, dude.
It depends. Well, here's the thing. When is it trolling? Is it trolling if you read something and the evaluation of what they're writing about is pretty far out there? Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Let me see if I can give you an example. I'm a baseball fan, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I read an article that one of the baseball teams that they were writing about, they were proposing that this recent trade that they had made was a bad trade, and the reasons they gave made no sense at all.
Mm.
I mean, just objectively, you looked at it, you said, that's insane.
Yeah.
And everybody was agreeing with it.
Uh-huh.
So was I trolling to say, I'm sorry, but that doesn't make any sense?
No. Actual trolling is when you take someone else in the comment and pick out what they said and then start making fun of them and what they said. So you must be the dumbest person on the planet if you believe this, stuff like that. That's trolling.
Yeah, and I don't ever like to do that because that's just personal attacks.
Exactly.
That's all that is.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of personal attacks. I always thought that was ridiculous. Because you know what a personal attack is? A personal attack is when you have nothing better to say.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's really what it amounts to, You have nothing to contribute to the discussion, so just attack somebody because you don't like them.
Yeah.
It's like, no. So that's the kind of person I really look at, and I say, that person really has no life at all. And, I feel bad for them. And then I move on because I don't want to feel like that. okay. Well, enough of that. Something else I wanted to talk about. This is actually a little bit more serious, a little bit more appropriate for law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
I was dealing with something, and I don't want to get into what it is because it's not an issue I want to bring out on the air. But
okay.
I was dealing with an issue that was getting to me. Mm-hmm. It was really getting to me a lot.
Oh.
And you and I have talked about some things that have happened in our lives lately that, you know, you were telling me some stories about stuff that was really getting to you. And right. you said, you know what this is like. It gets to the point where the thing gets to you so badly. Maybe it's another person. Usually it's another person that's involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Another person is, you know, they're shaming you or they're making you feel guilty or whatever, and yep. you're buying into it.
Right.
In this case, it wasn't a particular person. It was more of a series of events that was leading to a scenario that I really didn't like, and I couldn't think of a way to get out of it.
A series of unfortunate events?
I'm trying not to tell the story.
I know. I was just quoting the movie. Go ahead.
Yeah. But and then you find yourself in that out-of-alignment place.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something that is really bugging you for whatever reason, it's related to something that's important to you, something family related, something, you know, related to your career, something related to your love life. It could be almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if something's really important to you, all of a sudden, everything that we know about law of attraction, everything that we know about being a deliberate creator seems
out
to be right out the window.
Yep.
Why is that?
I don't know. We just, it's because we go with our instincts first. So it's like initial reaction is just, oh my God, I can't deal with this. And then you step back or someone brings you off the ledge and then you're like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bigger than this. I can yeah. handle this. It's not yeah. that serious. Yeah. Yeah.
And,
it takes a minute.
Well, in my case, it took more than a minute. I mean,
yeah,
I was literally using all of the tricks that we've ever discussed here on the podcast. All
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, with varying degrees of failure and varying degrees of success, you know.
Well, when that happens, it makes it work. Then you start falling into, well, none of this is working. I quit.
Yeah.
This is all bull. I do a podcast on bull. I'm a fraud and a failure. And then it's just snowballing into things that, let's just. Until you just want to curl up in your bed and never come out. Fetal position for life.
That's actually what was happening with me. That happened to me like late yesterday afternoon. I'm a person who doesn't take a nap.
Mm.
I just don't nap. I don't like it. I don't like the way I feel when I wake up from a nap. I feel miserable. I feel worse than when I actually lay down. There are times when I just have to just because, you know, I'm exhausted.
Right.
Most of the time I try to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost shocked Louise to death when I told her, you know, I really feel like taking a nap. And she looked at me like, are you okay? This is not your normal behavior.
But that's how you like, you gotta shut, sometimes it's like when your computer starts acting wacky, you gotta turn it off,
reboot.
Count to 10, and plug it back in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, literally that's what happened before the show today. Seriously, a half hour before the show, I'm trying to do a couple things. And nothing was working right. And I realized it's been a long time since this thing rebooted. It's about time.
Yep.
So I had to do a reboot.
Yeah.
But you're right. You have to reboot sometimes. Sometimes you just have to try to do that to get the perspective back.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't end up taking a nap. But what I ended up doing yesterday at that point was just quitting for the day.
I just threw it all the time.
I'm done. And within about an hour of vegging, and I forget what we were doing. I think she had the TV on or something. But I wasn't paying any attention to it. I was just kind of like, you know, zoning out.
Zoned out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the outer reaches of outer space. And I guess you could call it unplanned meditation. But in the middle of that, in the middle of that unplanned meditation, I started to feel better.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah, sometimes you just need to cancel the day and start over the next day.
That's right.
Yeah.
This day has been canceled due to lack of interest. So, yeah, it's a challenging thing to be a conscious creator. It's challenging to especially when you talk about it a lot, because you feel like, I mean, I don't know about you, I feel like I should be an expert on this.
I would say I should be an expert, but I definitely am a source.
Yeah, sure, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we talk about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I talk about it with some really smart people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some really smart followers who give us some good stuff too. You know, so
right.
I feel like I should really know this stuff. So why is it that every once in a while I fall into that trap? I don't understand.
Because that's how we're designed.
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
The only good thing I can say, well, it's not the only good thing. The one good thing I can think of to say out of that is I've gotten a lot faster of getting out of the trap.
Well, that's good. That's
you know, there was a time where I'd be in there like weeks at a time. Now I can break it in an hour or two at the most, maybe a few minutes in most cases, you know.
Well, that's excellent. That's definitely an improvement.
Yeah.
Because I think as a human race, we automatically default to pity party mode.
No kidding.
then, you know, we just, like I was saying earlier, it just snowballs, and then things that happened like a year ago, it was like, and then that happened. And then, this is just the worst year ever. Canceling, starting over in 2020.
That's right. Turn off the world, I gotta get off.
Yeah.
That's what the feeling is.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the sign of having done work on yourself. You've gotten to the point where you can snap out of it quicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a very good thing. It's a sign of growth. I mean, because I remember early on, and by early on, I mean like within the first couple of years after seeing The Secret and then discovering Graham Hicks and so on and so forth. I remember wondering if I was ever going to get to the point where I would have good things happen and where I would be able to manifest things, because I was having, you know, what felt like failure after failure. Actually, it turned out I was an expert at it. I just didn't realize it. Well, you know.
I mean, that's true. We're all deliberate creators. It's just once you become aware of that fact, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. What? I've been controlling my life this entire time? What have I been doing?
You know what the other thing was that really made a difference for me was recognizing that we manifest everything in our lives and what that implies.
Yes.
So an example of that is, and this is one of the few Facebook posts I actually looked at today and replied to. It was somebody who posted, what was it? Something like, there's this man in her life who won't listen to her. No, won't communicate with her. He's
uncommunicative. Oh, boy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What can you do about that? And I really didn't have a whole lot of time to put into it, so I just gave the blunt, obvious answer, which is, well, have you tried talking directly and say, you know, I need you to communicate more and, you know, and explain why you want to communicate more and ask him if he'll do that?
Right.
Because it occurred to me there's a very good chance that that never happened.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? You know?
She's like automatically like, okay, how can I change this?
Yeah, like, how can I attract a change?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Going the direct approach is a form of manifesting.
It's funny that you say that. I saw something on the Law of Attraction page, and it was my answer was similar to what you said.
So this really?
This person asked, how can I become more attractive? And, you know, I just want to look better. So I said, go buy some makeup and Google what a good haircut is for your type of face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, watch a makeup tutorial and then buy some new clothes. And then I put hashtag, it's just not that hard. Like, people are making it harder than it is because they think this magic genie is supposed to magically make things happen. But it's like, sometimes you got to start the ball rolling.
Exactly.
And take the simple steps because it's not that hard.
and that's kind of what I was trying to reach for in bringing all this up.
Yeah.
We kind of forget that if I want a pen, I just have to go reach over and pick up a pen. I don't have to turn it into a magic act.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, what do you think this is? Like, some of you need to reread the books. Some of you need to watch The Secret again. Like,
I manifest the pen? Yes, I manifested the pen.
Yes, but you also manifested yourself picking up the pen by going over to the table.
Absolutely, yeah. This is all valid manifestation.
Yes, right? Yes.
And I think my point is we need to demystify this manifestation stuff.
Yes, yes. It requires some effort. It does.
It also requires just recognizing, literally, we do manifest everything. It doesn't matter whether it was done in a very benign way, in a way that's just very normal that we take for granted, is still manifesting.
Yes.
It counts. Yes. It all counts.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be something that the magic genie made it appear out of thin air.
Yeah.
You simply went to the store to buy the milk. It can be that simple.
Yeah, exactly. How do I manifest milk? Go to the store.
And if you want to get yourself back into alignment, there's nothing better than to realize all of the different ways that the universe arranged to have that milk for you to buy in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Because there had to be a dairy farmer who was willing to actually raise the cows and feed them and collect the milk and figure out a distribution channel to get it to the store. And there had to be a store that was organized by somebody who decided to create a store so that you could have a place to go to buy the milk. And then there had to be somebody who came up with the monetary system that made it pop. I mean, there were all these people who were involved in getting that milk there. And
that
they
sounds
were
like the what is
process.
What is that old school song, the spider that swallowed the fly or something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
that's
right,
what it sounded
yeah,
like.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man.
But that's the kind of thing we should be appreciating more. I mean,
yeah.
We live in a wonderful world.
We do.
I don't care how many things that are going on that people don't like. We live in a wonderful world.
Mm-hmm. And we take it for granted.
Far too often.
Mm-hmm.
So how about, maybe we should spend more time appreciating the ordinary, mundane manifestations.
Yes.
Because
yes.
They're wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, I can't remember a particular movie off the top of my head, but I'm sure there must be movies or TV shows about people who are transported back in time, 1,000 years, and all of a sudden now they appreciate the fact that they don't have a toothbrush anymore.
Outlander.
Okay, there's an example. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are probably others, too. They're just not coming to my mind right now. But, mm-hmm. You don't need to even watch a TV show or a movie to think about that. Just think, what was it like living here 200 years ago, let alone 1,000 years ago?
I think about that all the time, every time I see a period piece, because I hate watching period pieces. That's for that purpose. And then my mom will be watching it, and I'm like, she'll watch Game of Thrones, and I'm like, no one took showers back then. They weren't, and it's so cold. They're covered in layers, so they're sweating under their clothes, and it's so gross. And then they're having sex with each other, not showering. Oh, I can't handle that show. So I ruin shows for my mother. Like,
well, you used to do a podcast called Spoiler Alert, so I think you're qualified.
Oh yeah, but I did it on the podcast. Like, I go on rants. Like, I'm just like, guys, we gotta. And then another thing about people like kissing in movies. I'm like, did you just hit the craft table before you did this scene, or did you brush your teeth? You have a myth. Like, what is happening here? Because they're like talking really close and sultry, and I'm like, I wonder whose breath stinks. And then they finally kiss, and I'm like, was it awkward? Because I always heard that acting kisses are so awkward, because it's like, you got to hold right here until they say action, and then it's like, you got to go into it, and then cut, and do it again, and cut, and do it again. It's just so awkward, especially if it's your child actor, and that's your first kiss. Oh, God.
You realize you are an advertiser's dream. You are absolutely the perfect target for an advertisement. I wouldn't be surprised if there are a whole bunch of mouthwash manufacturers who are about to contact Eloy today to start doing some advertising here just because of that. They've discovered that, oh, we got Alex. She's ready.
I'm like, well, let me tell you about this mouthwash. Note to advertisers, I do voiceover, so if you need me for your ad.
Well, you should also announce your great news. You're going to be a voiceover actor. You're going to be, that's going to be part of your career, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Got yourself an agent. That's fabulous.
Doing big things, doing big things. Multitasking is like a strength of mine, apparently.
Apparently.
Multitasking and deadlines. I love deadlines.
And I'm glad that you also proved that there is some value in working, or not working, but using Facebook, because you got to lead through Facebook.
Yep. Yep.
Once again, a whole bunch of Facebook advertisers are saying, yes, it works. Let's get on. We'll target Alex. It's great.
You Google one thing, and then the next thing you know.
But that's great. And the fact that you've become, you actually haven't been hired yet for a particular project, but you got taken on by the agency, right?
Right, yes.
Right, because they liked your voice, or I don't know what they said.
Yes, they like my voice. They have their whole spiel that they have to say in the email. But then at the end, they put personally. It was like, and we just want to say personally, we think you would do very well commercially.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only a matter of time you're going to get that phone call.
Only a matter of time.
And then the question is going to be, what's going to happen with me if I need a sub and Alex is off doing a commercial? I mean.
Well, that's the thing. It's all work from home, so I can record anytime I want. And we're only together for an hour, so it's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't have to go to a studio?
No, that was the thing about me deciding whether I wanted to do voiceovers or not, because, I really don't want to leave the house and have to travel to a studio.
Yeah, that's true. That's you. That's who you are.
Yeah. They're like, no, you can do this from home. Like, we will bring you people that will allow you to record on your equipment.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what attracted me to them. They were like, do you want to do voiceovers from home? I was like, yes, I do. Thanks for asking.
Holy cow. I didn't know anybody was doing that. That's great.
Well, with the technology we have today, I mean, all you're going to do is download an app.
That's true. Yeah. Have a fairly decent microphone.
Yep.
I mean, we're building a podcast off of it.
Hello.
Yeah. An audio play.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say that, well, that's the other thing to talk about, because we had a marathon.
Yeah.
Like a 2-day marathon of recording. Yep. Mm-hmm. In fact, we did so much recording, we ended up recording days in advance without realizing it.
Yeah. Which is great, because we ended up getting, 2-3 days off?
And we needed it. We were exhausted after that. I don't know about you, but I mean, with that last session, then it took 11:30 at night or something like that.
Midnight, exactly.
Was it midnight? Yeah. And when that was done, it was like, can I have the next week off or something?
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, okay, I wasn't expecting to read today, but here we go.
Well, what I can't say, and I haven't had a chance to play back all those recordings. I still have to go through and do the organizing and all that kind of thing. But what I can say is, it was a very interesting session in terms of noticing what happens as
the chameleon effect.
Not just the chameleon effect, but what happens as you do a recording session that goes on for a long period of time. It kind of got me thinking what happens on a movie set, because a movie set that can go on for like hours. It can go on for like 10
hours. Oh, it does.
Or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and I can only imagine having experience. This is like about 3 or 4 hours we were doing this. After 3 or 4 hours, everybody was pretty much wiped.
Yeah.
You know?
I think at 11:30, Carissa's voice started cracking, and I was like, oh, she's not a night person.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough. So, I mean, I was kind of projecting like, wow, that must be really tough to be on a movie set. And you've been sitting there for 3 hours, and then they finally put you into the scene, and now you're doing the scene 25 times.
Yep.
And it still isn't right, and then they have to rearrange the set, and then you do it another 10 times, and oh, my God.
And they got to get it from different angles, and they got a different – yeah, it's like being – I have, experience being an extra on different movie sets, and it's a lot of standing around and waiting. So at least they feed you. But you end up talking to random people from around the state and making friends and all that stuff, because you're stuck there for 16 to 20 hours – doing nothing most of the time until they call action. So
you get to
know new people and eat a lot of interesting food and sometimes meet the actors. So it's good.
Well, I saw one of those, behind the scenes, how it's made kind of a programs about the cast of Downton Abbey. And almost to a man, every single one of them said that they hate the dining room scenes. And the reason, of course, is
you have to reset it so many times because
you don't want
to come from every angle.
Yeah, you have to see it from every angle, but there can't be a camera in the background, which means you have to do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Like, oh my God, that must be insane.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Apparently, the ones they like are the ones where they're out on the grounds on a beautiful sunny day. Those are the fun.
Yeah,
scenes. Yeah.
Those are the one shots.
Yeah,
you're good. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't last long enough, I'm sure, because you're spending most of the time on the dining room scenes.
Oh, man.
Now, here's a question for you.
Answer.
If you're an actor.
Yes.
Or somebody who's in the overall profession, how would you go about using your ability as a law of attraction, as a deliberate creator, to make the experience more fun?
Like I said, get to talking to people about different experiences. Like how did you get here? Like what do you do in real life? Stuff like that. Just make the experience fun. I was doing it with my brother. So we always went to auditions together and we always got booked for the same movie. So we had each other, but we also, like I said, made friends and then you end up, thanks to Facebook, friends for life, And also, it helps in the business because they may have heard of a casting that you didn't hear of, and they're like, hey, just so you know, if you're going to be in the Burlington area, you should come on down, and, that's how you get hooked up. You get plugs.
That's cool. That's good.
Yeah. Business, you it's who you know. It really is.
Well, that's true for almost any business, but I expect especially true for the entertainment business.
Yeah.
How often have you been an extra in a movie or a TV show?
I've never been in a TV show, but I have been in, 7 movies, I would say.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
And did they all happen relatively within a short period of time from each other?
Yeah, it was like a good 2-3 year run.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have fun? Was it enjoyable?
Oh, I had a blast. Yeah. Because it's like the high school cafeteria, but like for 20 hours. Like, yeah, that's right. What it is. Yeah.
Endless study hall.
Yeah, exactly. One time, I actually accidentally ended up doing hair on a movie because the hair and makeup. It was a wedding scene for this movie called My Best Friend's Girl with Dane Cook, and I always shout that movie out because that's the one movie I like. You can really see me in.
Oh, cool.
Well, it's split second, but you know.
Hey, you're still there.
Yeah, I'm in there, like swimwear, and so they. The line wasn't moving fast enough for hair and makeup because it was a wedding scene. Everybody had to have updos and, you know, everybody's supposed to bring their own wardrobe. That's one thing. But hair and makeup wasn't moving fast enough. So I was like, hey, I'm a hairstylist. Do you want me to help? And they were like, well, take this person, show me what you can do. And I'm amazing at updos. So I just, you know, slapped something together and I was like, bing, bang, you're out. 5 minutes, I'm done. And so I would move the line along, and then someone finally had to tap me on the shoulder. A producer came up and was like, listen, you're not here for this, so we can't technically pay you for it. So if you want to stop, you should stop. Because you're getting paid as an extra. I was like, no, I'll help. It doesn't bother me. You know?
That's funny.
They're basically like, you won't get credit for this. So if you're doing this, you know, for other purposes, you should stop now. I was like, no, I'm doing this to help. It's fine.
That's great, though, that they were willing to say that. I mean, they could have just milked it.
Yeah, right?
You know, they could have.
You're like, we got free labor out of this one.
Yeah. But you were enjoying it, and that's really what I was getting to. How do you get into that best deliver creator mode? You're basically trying to get into the mode where you're feeling good and enjoying it. By only doing
things that you enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
And canceling all the other stuff you don't enjoy.
So what you've basically described to us is how to be an extra and have fun at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't do it if you're doing it for the claim and fame, because it's not claim or fame situation.
Mm-hmm.
There's rarely a chance you're going to meet these actors and actresses. That's another thing. When people are like, oh my God, Ryan Reynolds is in town. I got to get on this movie. Listen, he doesn't have time to shake hands with all 300 of you. So
no.
Calm down. you're going to see him out of the corner of your eye. Mm-hmm. He's going from his trailer to the camera. Like, it doesn't happen. So
Right. Don't
be obnoxious. And it's like, it's disrespectful. Like, it's part of the rules. Like, as an extra, you're not supposed to, you know, talk to the actors. If they talk to you, you're supposed to talk back. But you don't go, hey, can I get your autograph? Like, we're in the middle of a scene. What are you doing?
Right.
You're professional. I've seen people get kicked off a set. It's hilarious.
Well, it's funny you should say that. There was a film that came out back in the 1970s starring Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand called mm-hmm. The Way We Were. And part of it was filmed six blocks from where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
I grew up near Union College in Schenectady, New York, and they used the grounds.
I love that word, Schenectady.
I know, it's a great name. they used the grounds of the college for the college scenes in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember everybody in the neighborhood wanted to go down to see the movie set. We couldn't get anywhere near it.
Right.
The security was so good. I mean, if you look through the fence, you could kind of see a couple of people milling around. That's about the closest you could get.
Yep. Exactly. The security is so tight, and they got barriers and fences, and they know what they're doing.
Not happening. So.
And then there's people who like think they can beat the system, and they're like, oh, I'm just going to go down there and they're going to put me in the movie. No. Do you know how long us actual actors were standing in line to get into this movie? No. Hard work. And we, you know, to do the things that we get to do. So you don't just get to, it's not like that. It's not a movie. I mean, it is, but it isn't.
they're not just
going to look out in the crowd and go, you.
There's probably going to be somebody who's an actor out there who's going to say, yeah, but how can I attract that? How can I attract them noticing me?
Well, it's again, taking simple steps. So Google what it takes to be an actor in your area. You know, do you have to go to class? Do you want to be an extra? There are, like, for instance, I'm signed up for certain websites that do casting, public casting. So they let you know when there's shooting a movie in your area, if you're going to be fit for it, and can you come?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're like, oh, it's a cattle call. Everybody and everybody, be prepared to stand in line for 6 hours.
Right.
and then smile into the camera for 30 seconds and leave and wait for a phone call.
So. Yeah, that likely won't come.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the things that I learned from our own, we didn't really have a cattle call, but we had a whole bunch of people who applied.
We had an online cattle call.
It's kind of online, yeah.
Yeah.
But the one thing I learned from it was how many people there are who are amateurs, who yep. have the dream of yep. being an actor, mm-hmm. and have done very little to actually improve their craft.
Oh, boy, did we learn that the hard way.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to weed through a lot of people in order to find, fortunately, a fair few. There were quite a good few good ones.
Yeah.
But you have to do a lot of weeding through. And I remember PJ at one point, PJ, of course, is my sister, and also she's the director of The Grass is Greener. And yep. she made the comment that if any of the people who didn't make it through the first cut, if any of them complain, tell them our suggestion is go take acting lessons.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Get an acting coach.
Yeah.
And it wasn't meant to be an insult or anything. It was meant to be, literally, this is going to make a difference for you.
Yeah, helpful criticism, yeah.
Because truly, it's very evident a lot of people who are applying aren't doing a whole lot to build up their own acting skills.
You know why? Because someone told them they were a natural, so they don't feel like they need it.
Maybe that's mm-hmm. what it is. Maybe mm-hmm. maybe they did take some acting classes and they figured they're done.
Yeah, no. This is an ongoing training thing. Like, there are people, especially in Hollywood, there are people that still take acting classes to this day, and famous people, like Brad Pitt still takes acting classes. Jim Carrey takes acting classes. Like, you, and also, sometimes you need a refresher course if you have to prepare for a certain type of role. So you're always being educated, always.
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be like any career. If you really mm-hmm. are serious about doing the career, you're serious about doing the career. You do yep. whatever it takes to learn mm-hmm. to be good at it.
Yep.
You know, you want to be among the top tier who get drafted into actual movie projects or television projects or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, you do what it takes to make sure you're qualified, to make sure you're attractive to somebody who's trying to find somebody.
This is the big thing. There are ways to do it for free, but to get money, you have to spend a little money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have your headshots. You got to have your video reels. You got to have, you got to be prepared to invest in your career.
And, oh, by the way, you also have to read directions.
Yes.
Remember that part of the conversation
read
early
the
on?
The breakdowns. I can't stress that enough. Read the breakdown, people. All of it. All of it.
When we described what we were doing, when I posted yeah. the ad, particularly on backstage.com, where mm-hmm. we got the vast majority of our responses from, mm-hmm. when I posted there, I was very clear, this is what we need. We need this, yep. this, and this. And it was actually a pretty short list, right?
Yeah, yeah. And very specific.
And a whole lot of people made it really easy to eliminate them because they didn't do it.
Yep.
It was really simple.
Yeah, seriously.
And some of them were probably pretty good actors, but you know, if you can't follow direction, why would we want you on the set?
Exactly. Because if you can't follow directions on paper, you're not going to want to follow the director's directions. So that
Hello.
Automatically that automatically wipes you out. So we're just like, okay, no, save ourselves some drama.
I mean, think about it from the perspective of the person who's doing the casting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a great exercise, and having done the casting, now I know yeah. how good of an exercise it is.
Right.
Just think about what they're doing. Think about what they're going through. I mean, it's not like the old cattle calls where you had to actually stand in line. Well, I guess they still have those, but
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, you had to stand in line for days at a time, it seemed like. But yep. at the same time, there was the casting director and his assistants who were sitting in the third row of the theater while this crew of people just started marching past on stage doing their 10-second routine. Next, 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 yep. next. Can you imagine what it's like to sit in that chair? Next, next, next. Please show me a talent somewhere.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah.
I need to see somebody who can do something.
Seriously.
It's
like that part in The Incredibles, and they're like, what do you want? And he's like, something amazing, I guess. Oh, that line cracks me up all the time. Me and Richie always say that to each other. It's like, he'll be in traffic and he'd be like, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, something amazing, I guess. Oh, we love The Incredibles.
Apparently, yeah. That's
and it was very fun shooting with my best friend. It was great.
That's cool. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's
he texted me immediately. Experience. I was like, we're still shooting. He's like, yeah, but how did I do? Because this is his first time acting. And I was like, I was making fun of him. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I was like, I'm going to write a scene. It's going to be a flashback of Lexi and Nance and Miguel in high school. And they're going to be in the car singing in Vogue. Because that's what we used to do. And I was like, I noticed on your intake form you put that you couldn't sing, but that's a lie. So I'm gonna write it in. I'm going to write it in. I was like, I have all the power. You can't run from me. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was great. Now he's listening to this and knows that I was joking, but it's okay.
Oh, that's good. As long as he doesn't take offense, that's the main thing.
No, he never took offense. He never takes offense. He's like me. He lets everything ride right over his shoulder.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's a good trait for an actor, by the way.
Yes, yes. Because when you're getting criticism, you cannot take it personally. You just have to take it in, listen to what they said, and roll with it.
And remember, in most cases, there are going to be a few cases where it's meant harshly, but in most cases, they're trying to help you.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And by the way, they're trying to help you for their own interests.
Right. They're helping you help them create their vision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the one thing that is most interesting to me about the casting process. Mm-hmm. Because you're trying to find somebody for a role who not only could play the role and not only can follow directions of a director in playing the role.
Right.
But is actually interested in working with you to make the role work. Mm-hmm. So how do you find that person? So you start with what we talked about before. You start with, well, can they follow directions? And
right.
They can't read the directions, so they don't realize that they're supposed to put in a 10-second little piece about why they should be in The Grass is Greener.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they skip that entirely. Mm-hmm. And then they wonder, well, why didn't I get a call back?
Because you didn't finish your application. You can't do that. It's like the SATs. You didn't put your name on it. You lost 400 points.
Right. That's a more extreme example. It was a common example, but it was a more extreme example. But, like, for instance, at one point I was putting out a call for people who could write music, because we're still trying to find
something. Looking for a theme song, yeah.
We have a theme song. We have something that we can use. We both agree we like it. PJ likes it. So, you know, if we have something. But it's one of these royalty-free music things. It would be really great if we had somebody who was writing for the show. Mm-hmm. And we've been trying to find, well, first of all, just finding something you and I both like. It's always been a challenge on music. Everything else, we're fine. I don't know why. But
it's an age gap. That's all it is.
I think that's what it is, yeah. But anyway, we've been talking to people. And I actually put an ad on Backstage to see if I could get, you know, find somebody there. And it was amazing. I would get people who would apply. They knew, the way Backstage works is they want you to put in what the role is. Well, it's not really a role, so I put in, like, you know, composer, music creator for the show. That's what I put that in. And I would get people who would apply, and they wouldn't follow the direction of send us a sample of your music.
Yeah, hello, that's the most important part.
You're trying to be the music composer, and you aren't going to show me what your music sounds like?
Right, really? You want me to pick you just on your application.
I'm supposed to do it based on your photo, is that
it? Right. Never judge a book by its cover.
No, and I don't. And then I would get somebody who would actually send some kind of a sample, and I would ask, well, you know, here's what Alex is looking for. Here's what I'm looking for. Is this something that, you know, you can find some sort of middle ground that we would both like?
Right.
And then I get an answer back. Yeah, I can do that. I love the challenge. I can't tell you how many times I got that phrase. I love a challenge.
That's usually a bad sign.
And then I'd say, okay, great. Can you actually send me something?
Right.
And there'd be like a 3-day pause.
Right.
And then I'd get the answer back. I don't think I can really do this project, but thank you anyway.
Yeah, I told you. I love a challenge. You're okay. Let me tell you, in the dating world, when you hear "I love a challenge," it's followed by a dick pic. It's followed by a dick pic. I'm telling you, that's just how it is.
I can't even
bad
imagine.
Bad wording for every situation.
I love a challenge. Who on earth would go into a personal relationship with the idea "I love a challenge"? Who?
Yeah, but it's like I'm not interested in you. Oh, I love a challenge. Sir, you're not listening. You're not following directions.
Next.
I'm directing you to the friend zone. You need to follow the arrows.
I wouldn't give them that. You're giving them the friend zone? I'd give them.
Not always. Not, if their personality's cool, sure. You know, but most of the time I'm like, delete.
I think you're being very generous myself.
No, not even, because some people I have reported to the admins, like no. And I'll send the screenshot of the dick pic and go, no, he's got to go.
I mean, I wouldn't even wait for the possibility of a dick pic. For me, you know, it, as soon as I see the words, I love a challenge, next.
Yeah, that sounds very stalkery and
I don't care what's going to come after that. It doesn't matter. It's like, right. why would I want to be with somebody who wants to treat me like a challenge?
Yeah.
That's somebody who's trying to change me.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of that?
Like, yeah, I don't have a submissive personality. And you see that as a challenge? Okay. All right. 50 Shades of Grey. Calm down.
Yeah, right. No kidding. I've never watched the movie. I have no interest in watching the movie, but I know enough about it.
Like 20 minutes of it, and I was like, I'm over it. I didn't read the books. You know, people told me about it. I was like, listen, I'm not into going to the movie theater to watch softcore porn. It's just not my thing.
It was on HBO, and I was flipping past channels, and I saw it for like 5 seconds. Five seconds was all I needed. I said, I'm out of here. I'm done.
Yeah, same.
Like, no, thank you. Like, really?
We would have been in a fight to pick up the remote first.
No kidding. Well, I have to admit, this has been one of the more unusual podcast shows.
Yeah. We ran over time. Oh.
We have gone over time, but we found all these different ways to discuss how not to be a deliberate creator.
Yeah.
So if you want to understand how not to be a deliberate creator, just play the show all over again. And,
yep. Rewind. You know, pause. There take it is. Notes where you need to.
It's all very good.
Yep.
So I hope that sets everybody up for a happy week. And if nothing else, it got you to laugh. That's the most important thing. So thank you very much for being our guinea pigs of laughter.
Yes.
How's that? Isn't that good?
And isn't that great that I'll be here pretty much all week next week? So
she is going to be here. She's not kidding. She's not kidding. Because she's going to be here Tuesday and Thursday as normal. Today she's subbing for Linda. Wednesday she's subbing for Cindy. I mean, I'm just going to have to make you the permanent co-host. That's all there is to it.
That's all I've been saying. No offense to everybody else, but you got me. It's what I tell my mother, like, why did you have two more kids? You had me. Like, stop at perfection. Like, people, what are we doing? 1983 was a great year. I don't know what happened.
And that, my friends, is the definition of a healthy ego. So thank you very much to our podcast listeners. Thank you to Jeffrey doing our live stream listing as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.